Hey, friend, I am back with a very inspirational story for you today on the podcast. I'm talking with Isabella Montano Gonzarians, the founder of Isabella MG. Isabella MG is a Latina-owned stationery brand known for its cheerful, lighthearted cards and cositas. That's Spanish for little things. One of the things I really enjoy about Isabella's work is how naturally she weaves her culture into her products, creating designs in both English and Spanish. These products feel thoughtful, inclusive, and genuinely joyful. In this episode, Isabella shares what it's been like growing her business since she launched in 2020, while also navigating some really big personal shifts. We're talking becoming a mom recently, moving from San Diego to Los Angeles, and continuing to lead a growing team remotely. So today on the episode, we're talking about building products that resonate across cultures, managing that remote team we mentioned, and the opportunities that have helped bring Isabella's work into big box retailers like Target and Home Goods. Now, before we dive in, today's episode is brought to you by our Paper Camp Wholesale Coaching Program. Paper Camp is our 4-week wholesale coaching program specifically built for product brands who are ready to stop guessing and start building a wholesale strategy that actually works. This program is designed for brands who want a real wholesale business. I'm talking about an ecosystem that keeps orders coming in, not just landing a few accounts here and there and keeping our fingers crossed that they come back for more. Inside of Paper Camp, we will help you build a clear, sustainable wholesale foundation and weave in growth strategies for more seasoned brands. We're talking your product line that makes sense to retailers, from pricing and margins that you can stand behind, sales tools that buyers expect to see, and we will cover marketing and outreach. I'm talking about customer acquisition as well as retention. We also talk about trade shows. If that's something that you're interested in doing, we'll tell you how to do it. Each week of Paper Camp builds on the last, so you're creating, again, a comprehensive, complete wholesale system, not just collecting tips that you might implement here or there. We do host live coaching calls every week to help you apply what you're learning, and that will also allow you to make confident decisions in real time. Enrollment for the next round of Paper Camp opens soon, and this program does sell out every time we run it. So if wholesale is part of your growth plan for this year, I want you to join the waitlist at prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Hey, Isabella, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here.
Hi, Katie. It's so good to be here.
I have wanted to talk to you on the podcast for a very long time, but frankly, you've been a busy bee with so many life changes, which we're going to talk about today. But to kick this off, I would love if you could introduce yourself to our audience, share a little bit about you, how you started Isabella MG, and what types of products you sell.
Sure. So I'm Isabella. I am the owner of the stationery brand Isabella MG, and we are a stationery brand all about cheerful, lighthearted cards and cositas. And cositas is Spanish for little things, and it represents a couple things. It represents not only the fun, diverse product line that we have, but also it represents a bigger mission of mine to have products and cards in both English and Spanish. So yeah, it's one of my very near and dear missions with the whole business. So biggest goal is to spread joy through cheerful, colorful art within English-speaking communities, Spanish-speaking communities, even Spanglish. That's kind of where I land, and just have lots of fun doing so. I started in officially 2020. That's like the official launch date or year that I...
When you started selling?
Yep.
One of the things I love about your brand is that you have products in both English and Spanish, and the way you've weaved your culture into the products you're creating, not just from like the art perspective, which is powerful, but also the phrases and the things that you put on your products. And I think it really stands out in the marketplace because of that. So I wanted to give you kudos there.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It was something that was always very important to me, but it was also something that like, yeah, it just makes sense to do for me. Cause personally growing up, my mom's a big card giver. Like she gives cards for like every single holiday, like the small holidays too, you know? And so I adopted that and I'm out at the stores way younger looking for cards in Spanish for my grandma, who's only Spanish speaking. And I'm like, wait a sec, there aren't enough. Or like the cards that were available were a little traditional or like a tad bit religious, which is great if that's your vibe, but it wasn't mine. And so I was like, there's definitely a hole here in this paper industry. So I was like, let me
bring my spin to it. Yeah. I love that. Love it. Also, congratulations are in order. You recently became a mom and you also moved to a new city. Those are huge life changes. How are you doing?
I don't even know, honestly.
Fair. That's fair.
Yeah. No, but yeah, it has been a lot of exciting changes. Thank you, by the way. Thank you so much for the conversations. It has been so much fun. It has been the most wild ride ever, I will say. Definitely underestimated it just a tiny bit, but I have a newfound respect for moms of all kinds. And so, yeah, I'm just taking it day by day.
Absolutely. I started my product brand when I was pregnant with my first baby. So I know exactly what you're talking about and what you're navigating as you're growing both like the family and the business. And it is not easy. One of the questions I'd love for you to share, because there's a lot of other women experiencing the same, like what's working for you right now? Because I know it changes day to day. What is working for you right now in terms of giving yourself the space and the grace to be present with your family and also active in your business?
Yeah. So I will say it's something I definitely struggled with a little bit at the beginning. So when my son was born in January, we were down in San Diego and it was just me and my husband. And so my business did have to take a huge step back. It was the most I've been hands off in the entire like duration of my business. And that was really hard for me. I definitely struggled with kind of missing that old time that I had to myself. And so that's part of one of the reasons why I had to, or we decided to move up, was just that I had to accept help. I was trying to do it all on my own. And I was just like, this is impossible.
Yep.
So we made the really hard decision to move up to the LA area where both our families are from.
Okay.
And we established a schedule with the grandmas. They come over for a few hours, 3 times a week. And just those 3 hours alone are a game changer.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's how I've been able to just kind of, I hate to use the word balance, but like that's how I'm trying to do both. Nothing feels like a balance these days, but yeah. So just accepting the help, however it comes too, when you can. So
yeah, that was a challenge I faced too. I don't accept help very readily and I should accept more of it. And I also don't do a good job, in my opinion, of asking for help until I get to like, I'm pushed against a wall, sort of, it's an emergent situation. I need support. And that's not a healthy place to be, listeners.
No, not at all.
Ask for help, accept the help when it comes, no matter what your situation is, even if you don't have children. But what you're saying really resonates. And I will say to you, as somebody who, my youngest is now 9 years old, so we're between the ages of 9 and almost 16, it's still a challenge for me. And I don't say that to scare you, but I just say it shifts and it evolves. And there's times where you're going to lean more into family because that's where you're needed. And there's other times you're going to lean more into business because that's what's needed. And so just want to give you some encouragement there of like, you're in the weeds and it's so hard and we see you and you're doing a great job, mama.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So you moved from San Diego to LA, which I mean, it's not that far of a distance, but it is a big deal to move a business and move a life up even a few hours away. So I know you have a team of 3 that works for you now. Did you have those people in place before the move or did you hire them as preparation for the move?
Definitely in preparation. Well, honestly, no, we had moved before I brought them on.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I had a previous team in place. It was just 2 girls who worked for me. One of them ended up leaving. And so I was just down to 1. And I was in the talks of like a possible acquisition with a company.
Oh, cool.
I don't know. It was just like a weird transition phase. So I was like, I'm not going to hire anyone right away. Just I'm going to see how this plays out and then go from there. But so I had a previous team in place. They ended up leaving onto bigger, brighter, better things, pursuing their own dreams, which I love, I'm all about. And so I decided to move the business up just because I was getting to that point where I was like, I need to be around family. I need the help. So I kind of prematurely moved before I figured everything out with the business. So while I was up here living with my parents, by the way, because we were also looking for a space and trying to sell our house. Oh my gosh, there were so many things going on. I think back and I'm just like, I don't know how we did it all. But while I was living with my parents, I was interviewing people to get the business back up and running. Because like I previously mentioned, I took a big step back from the business this past year. So I don't know if that made sense.
No, it does. It sounds like you made the move for your personal life because you needed to be around a support system to help with your son. And at the same time, you were navigating some potential changes in the business and trying to figure out what was next for that.
Yeah.
You ultimately decided to have the business stay in San Diego and run it from afar. And it sounds like you staffed up with more people. What played into that decision? Most people would probably take the business with them to Los Angeles, set up shop there. What made you decide to keep it in San Diego and kind of just build from there?
Going through the logistics of like trying to move up our home and the business while taking care of a newborn was just so much. So I told my husband, let's move ourselves up. We'll figure out the business later.
Yeah.
I also have like a three-year lease.
I was going to say, did you have like a real estate lease too that kind of held you there?
Yep. And I did reach out to like see if I can get out of it, but they were making me jump through these hoops. And I was like, okay, I'll deal with this later.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's fair.
Yeah. So we decided I'm just going to leave it down there for now. I do see myself bringing it up. Mm-hmm. I don't know when. I don't have a timeline for that, but I will say having the business down there and me being up here has been hard. I definitely feel a little bit of a disconnect. And I didn't think it would be that big of a deal, but it has kind of been. So yeah.
Have you connected with Alicia from Slightly Stationary?
Haven't. No, not yet.
You should, because she moved to Oregon and she kept her business running in San Diego. And I know that's an extreme challenge for all of you. And anyhow.
She's from a different state. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. I'll let you two talk about how she works it out. But I do think you should connect with her because I think that would be really cool for you. What has been the biggest struggle for you in terms of managing a team from afar? You mentioned a disconnect. Do you feel like that's more with the people or do you feel like it's a little bit more with the day-to-day operations of the business?
It's definitely more with the day-to-day. I have full faith in the people down there. I think they're a great set of women and I'm very grateful for all their help and for holding it down. But yeah, just previously I was the one going into the office every day, even if it was just to work and like I was with the previous fulfillment girly that I had and just being in the environment of like, I don't know, it's hard to put into words just how much of a difference it makes just going in and being around everything. So
I feel like you're going through major shifts all at the same time. You're going through this, and I'm projecting my own stuff here, right? I went through a major identity. I don't want to call it a crisis, but just an identity questioning once I had my first kid and then started to have more. I was like, who am I? Like, I felt like my days were all encompassed with having the baby, with the baby's needs, with the home life, with the family life. And it did, when I did get time to work on my business, I felt like so refreshed and rejuvenated from that because it was just mine. It was solely mine. It wasn't contingent on what the family's need. I mean, I'm oversimplifying the situation here, but but I think then too, for you to also be working from afar, that creates a different set of challenges. And so I just want to empathize with you and say like, that's a lot to manage in a short amount of time.
Thank you. Yeah. And I think you're right that that might be what it is. It's just my whole life here is family and all of that. And then to not be able to like go into my place of work.
Yeah.
It's where the disconnect is stemming from for sure, I think.
Yeah, for sure. So what kind of systems do you have in place as somebody that is managing a remote team? I'm sure you had to get them set up with, you know, SOPs and all sorts of things. Are you going down there on a certain interval or how are you handling that?
Yes, I am going down there. My like overarching goal, I guess, is at least once a month, but I'm trying to go down every other week. So bi-weeklies on Mondays.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important to show face and like be around the people who work for you. So like, I think, although the drive is kind of annoying, I love it. So yeah, I try and go down twice a month. But aside from that, yeah, we have the SOPs built out for the most part for like fulfillment and product prep. And we meet together every Wednesday for like 10 to 15 minutes, super quick, just to like touch base on everything.
Nice.
Yeah, we use Asana too to like communicate a lot of things that need to get done or things that are in the works. So yeah.
That's awesome. That sounds like a really good system. Switching gears a little bit, earlier this year, you shared that your artwork is now being carried in Target. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How did that opportunity come about? And was it fun to take your family to see it in the store?
Oh, so much fun. It was honestly so surreal, just like walking down the aisle. I'm like, oh, wait, that looks so familiar.
But, oh, wait, I made that.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was one of those things where it was like kind of right place, right time. I was exhibiting at the Atlanta Trade Show, and I was down in the Temps, and I was also in a showroom. And so I was going back and forth. It was chaotic. And at this point, was in the showroom and I was chatting with who I thought was a buyer. I thought she was a retailer and she happened to be the owner of Inked Brands, which I had no idea who Inked Brands was at the time. So I was just talking to her like so casually, not knowing like how big of a deal it was.
Yeah.
And so in conversation, she was like, well, how would you be interested in maybe creating some artwork for some notebooks for Target? And in the moment, I was like, is this for real? Again, because I had no idea who she was at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, of course. Like I would be interested. And she's like, okay, we'll talk. And that was it. And so then a couple months later, we connected again. And lo and behold, it was a real deal type of situation. And we agreed. We signed a contract. And I've been working with them since. So
that's awesome.
It was fun. It's been fun.
That's good. I was talking with Kate Murray earlier today, and she was talking about how all of the work she's doing with key accounts now and or special projects she's done have come through meeting with people face-to-face at trade shows, and how you never know who you're going to meet. You never know who's going to stumble across your doorstep, so to speak, of your booth. And like in this instance, it's so refreshing and kind of like fun to hear, like, I didn't know who this person was. I was just having a great conversation, and now it led to this awesome experience.
Yeah. And actually, that's kind of the takeaway I've like had for every trade show that I've done. That's where I met Dan Rich, the showroom owner. And that's where I met Home Goods. And it's like all these people that you meet that then something comes from. And like in the moment, you don't know what, but
I think some of that too is just being open to the opportunities, right? Putting yourself in proximity where these opportunities can come about, but then being open to having these conversations too. I think there are, I mean, gosh, I've been doing trade shows for so long and going to trade shows. Like there's some people that really relish in the moment and will take advantage of every opportunity to talk to everybody that crosses their path. And there's some people that get really nervous and don't really talk to a lot of people, and they are missing out on potential opportunities. Do you agree?
Yes, 100%. I think one of the things that I struggled with at the beginning was being nervous to approach people like coming down the halls or like being nervous to like start that conversation. Once I started getting comfortable with being uncomfortable is when things kind of started happening, I guess, sort of say. So definitely just I had to get out of my own way and just put myself in, like you said, in those situations, those opportunities. And yeah, things have just unfolded.
Yeah. I think that resilience and that also comfort level comes with just time and experience. So many people are putting themselves out there every day. And when you don't hear back, it's so disheartening. Or if you hear a no, it's so disheartening. But at the same time, I love what you're saying of like, it's not personal. I need to just get out of my own way and realize that it's okay. I can have these conversations. Sometimes it'll work out. Sometimes it won't work out. So it's fun to hear you talking about that.
Yeah, exactly. You never know.
You never know. So it sounds like wholesale is your primary revenue stream. Is that correct?
It is. Yeah, it is our biggest one.
Okay. So you're working with the rep groups. You're exhibiting at trade shows. You've got your team working and doing fulfillment in-house. I guess one question I have for you is if you could go back in time and tell your 2020 self when you were starting this business, one thing, like one piece of advice, what would you say?
I think it would be what I previously shared is just get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Don't let yourself, your own self get in your own way and just be okay with putting yourself out there. I don't know, taking more risks. And if it's bound to happen, it will. I definitely believe that. I think people who are successful have this like delusion that success is theirs for some. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they believe in what they're doing. I think there's also, I'm curious about your opinion on this. I think there's also a clarity piece there where those that are successful really know what they're going after. They kind of have some goal in mind that they're working towards. So that makes the pathway a little bit easier because it's clearer of where they're trying to go. When folks are trying to, at least from my experience, when folks are trying to dabble in a whole lot of things and they don't have clarity around what they want the business to be, I feel like they flounder a little bit more because their attention is pulled in so many places. But what are your thoughts on that?
I can see that for sure. And I will say at the beginning too, so prior to launching wholesale, I was trying to dabble in like so many different things and I wasn't getting anywhere.
Yeah, it's hard to get traction.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I like kind of narrowed down, I'm like, okay, cards and other products is when it kind of started making more sense for sure.
Yeah. What do you have on the horizon for the next year? Like, what do you have your eyes set on and what are you working towards?
Oh, there's so many things. I have so many ideas and dreams that I want to bring to life. I don't think I'm anywhere near like where I even want to be, but I'm in talks with a couple other big box brands. So that's exciting. There's potential licensing opportunities on the rise. I don't want to jinx it. So like,
no, only share things that you're comfortable sharing so we can send all the good vibes towards you. But
thank you. Yeah. So, but in the immediate horizon, I guess, is just, I'm just still trying to take it day by day, putting one foot in front of the other. I'm trying to get a Valentine's Day collection now. So that's what's happening here.
You're right on schedule. My entire advisory board, we met yesterday and they're all like, yep, working on Q1 release. So cool. Yeah. All the Q1 release. So
it's up on you.
I know it does. It really does. You mentioned that you worked with HomeGoods and that came through a trade show too. Can you tell us about that experience?
Yeah, so that also came through the trade show. It was my first trade show, actually, which I think...
That's a big get for your first show.
I was very surprised to myself. But yeah, I exhibited at 2022 at Noted. And again, it was just one of those things. I didn't know who the person was and they came through and we connected and I ended up following up with them a few times because the first time I didn't hear anything back and... Yeah. So I met them through a trade show as well.
Yeah. Are you continuing to work with them?
Yeah, I have been. This year has been crazy, but up until the end of 2024, yeah, we have been working
nice
consistently together. So
good, good. Well, Isabella, it's been so fun chatting with you and catching up. I know it feels you're in a big shift in life. And I have to imagine that that's also both exciting and also just a little bit like, oh, where are we headed next with the business? Like a curiosity standpoint. So I just want to encourage you that you're doing a great job. And I appreciate you sharing your experience here because there's a lot of people listening who have been in transitions like you are now with family or moving or just big things happening in your business while at the same time you're kind of navigating this personal stuff. And so thank you for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you. I'm so glad we got the chance to chat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Why don't you tell folks where they can shop your product line and where they can follow you on social media?
Sure. So my website is isabellamg.com. I am also on Instagram, TikTok at isabellamg.co. I'm on Fair for retailers.
So. Awesome. Yeah. We will include all of those links in the show notes so people can easily find you. But just again, thank you for making time for us today.
Thank you. This was so fun.
It was fun to see your face and catch up. Isabella has had such incredible growth in such a short amount of time. Kudos to you, Isabella, on all that you've accomplished. And I can't imagine how fun it must have been walking into Target and seeing those planners on the shelf. So excited for you. To check out Isabella's product line and to follow her online, check the links in my show notes. We've included everything there so you can follow her and check out her store. Before we wrap up, I want to leave you with this. If wholesale is something that you keep circling back to, if you are tired of guessing, if you are tired of throwing spaghetti at the wall, or trying to piece things together on your own from things you're learning in podcasts and blogs and online, this is why PaperCamp exists, okay? PaperCamp is designed for product brands who want to build a real wholesale business and they want a comprehensive roadmap to get there. We are building wholesale ecosystems, not just landing a few accounts, crossing our fingers, and hoping it all works out. We are building the foundations and growth strategies to ensure that you have orders coming time and time again. If this sounds like something that you're interested in, if you're looking to strengthen your wholesale ecosystem, I would love to support you. You can join the PaperCamp waitlist at proofedoproduct.com/papercamp, and you will be the first to know when open enrollment happens. Again, that's proofedoproduct.com/papercamp. Thanks for hanging with us today. I'll be back next week with a new episode.